Many of you can probably remember a day in your life when you were smaller, when you would maybe get in a little scuffle at school with someone else, or maybe at some community event, the kids would get into a scuffle and there would be all this, oh yeah, oh yeah, and finally someone would say it, oh yeah, well my dad's stronger than your dad, my dad can beat your dad up. I think we've all heard that at some point in our life as we were kids, as if it made any difference at all. And as I thought about that this week, I thought about the times in Palestine in the Middle East in the writing of 1 Samuel, especially from the time that God's people settled in Palestine. The question was, whose God is bigger? Because the thought was among the people that when two nations came up for war against each other, whoever won the battle, their God was the one true God and the stronger God. See, so it was not only a battle between nations, it was a battle between gods. And what would happen, the losing side would have to serve the winning side and be their servants, thus disgracing not only them, but their God. The Philistines were fierce warriors. They were always Israel's enemies. They had inhabited Palestine and the plain of Philistia along the Mediterranean Sea, and they always desired to move their boundaries eastward in Palestine. They were originally from Crete, the island of Crete, or somewhere in the islands of the Aegean Sea. They were not Semitic people, which meant they were not Jewish by background. They were pagans. They were Gentiles. Thus, they worshipped many gods and brought their gods with them when they settled in Philistia. They had a great knowledge of metalworking, something that Israel did not have until the Philistines settled in that area and Israel became acquainted with them in various ways. But the Philistines were masters in working metal, and it was very evident in their weapons. That's why they were very successful in battle when they would come up against Israel. But for years and years and years, they had been an enemy of Israel. At this particular time in our story, Saul's king, David's in his service in the presence of King Saul. On our text today, it tells us the Philistines gathered their forces for war, and the Israelites also came for war. One was on one hill, one was on the other, with the valley in between. That was how they often fought, in the valley below. However, one of the ways of battle was to send one man out from each side, and they would fight each other, and if they both sides agreed, the winner was the winner of the battle. And so that happened as Goliath came out from the Philistine camp, 9 feet tall, a bronze helmet on his head, a coat of scale of armor that weighed approximately 125 pounds. He had a spear that with a point on it that weighed approximately 15 pounds. And he was overwhelming to the Israelite army. And he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, which was one of the ways that the armies or the people that would come out would do. They would taunt each other, hurling insults, and thus raising the mood, so to speak. I don't know how else to put it, before the battle ensued. So Goliath shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? I'm a Philistine and you're just simply servants of Saul. Choose a man, have him come down. If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. If I overcome him and kill him, you're going to be our subjects." The Philistine said this day, "I defy the ranks of Israel." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul, which was the king, and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. It's a terrifying situation. Things did not seem very promising or hopeful for God's people at the time. Their very nation was being threatened by this giant, by the Philistines. If they lost, they would become servants of the Philistines. Now, by this time, David was in the service of Saul, but he was going back and forth through his hometown, tending the sheep, serving Saul, playing the harp to calm Saul. And as this was taking place for 40 days, This Philistine, Goliath, came forward every morning and every evening. In the morning, he would refresh his challenge and his taunting. In the evening, he would remind them again and scare them again, and all night long, they would have this in their mind. So Jesse says to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers. Take them out to the camp and take cheese to the commanders. In other words, Jesse was sending David out to the battlefront because his brothers were sent to battle. He was sending them special food for his brothers and for the commanders. David goes out to the front line where his brothers are. And while he was talking with his brothers, Goliath came out and he started his taunting again. David heard it. The Israelites again ran from Goliath in great fear. Well, the Israelites knew that the king was promising wealth to anybody who would kill Goliath. And David asked about that. But David has a different perspective, this little shepherd boy. Here this shepherd boy is. He's now from the fields tending the sheep into the presence of the king, now to the front line of Israel, a shepherd boy. And his question is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, what David was doing was putting this whole problem in perspective, theologically and spiritually. Something that was not being done to this point. The armies were looking at the situation for face value, what it was. It was a hopeless situation. There was no way anybody was going to penetrate Goliath's armor or take him down. It was huge, immense, overwhelming. But David looks at it totally different. First of all, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David reminds the people when he asks this, this man is not one of God's chosen people. He's uncircumcised, meaning he's not Jewish. We're God's chosen people. Who is this guy that he should come and defy God's chosen people, the armies of the living God? David clears up the situation and asks a very valid question. You see, have you ever thought to ask that question in your own life? Well, what is this that came in the mail that it should defy the living God? What is it that the doctor just told us that should defy the living God, you see? Well, they told him what was being said by Goliath. David went out, talked to his brothers. They got a little upset with him for being there. And David, they called in Saul. David says to Saul, King Saul, don't let anybody lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. I'll go and fight him. David's a shepherd boy. I'll go and fight him. Don't let anybody lose heart. I'll go and fight him. What gave David faith like that? What gave David the faith to stand up and say that? He's 9 feet tall. David saw him. He heard him. And he said, I'll go fight him. Don't worry. Don't lose heart. Saul said, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. You're only a boy, and he's been fighting all his life from his youth. You're only a boy. You can't do this. Now understand, folks, something. We have an ancient foe who seeks to destroy us. We sing hymns about him, all right? People who deny that the devil even exists are really burying their heads in the sand. Because he does, and he wants you to deny he exists so that you don't worry about him. But he's coming up against us to destroy us in many, many ways. We're all living proof of that every single day in our lives. He's trying to destroy you and I in whatever way that he can. And he's trying to tell us you're nothing. You're nothing. You're just a boy. You're nothing. You don't have the capabilities to do this. I've been doing this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You can do nothing. You're only a boy. Well, David says to Saul, listen, I've been keeping my father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. I've killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine's going to be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Look what David keeps saying here. And this isn't the last time in the text we're going to read this. Understand that this thing, this problem, this giant was defying the armies of the living God. And when that happens, folks, that enemy has no chance. David says, this guy's uncircumcised. And the enemy's defying the armies of the living God. David is basing this on his past deliverances. Understand that. This young shepherd boy had come to a point in his faith journey based on past deliverances that he could stand up and say, I'm willing to fight. I'm ready to fight. I'll fight this battle, but only by the strength of Almighty God. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me. He will deliver me. Let's say that together. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He will deliver his people. You see, because this uncircumcised man was not part of the covenant of the armies of the living God, the armies of the living God, and you and I being grafted in through Jesus, are part of the covenant, and we have that promise that he will deliver us. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on David and a bronze helmet. David put all this stuff on like we do. We put all the world's ways of fighting on us, you know. Oh, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. You got to be tough. Here's what we're going to do. Somebody says to you, the next time you got a problem, you're pouring out your heart to them, they say, you got to be tough. You go find other support. I don't know about you folks, but it's a battle. It's a battle. It's tiring. It's very tiring. Somebody tells me you got to be tough. That's an insult to me, you see, because the Bible doesn't tell us we have to be tough. The Bible tells us we have to trust in God with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God, and he'll make our paths straight and protect us along the way, you see. We turn to the ways of the world instead of turning to God. David is looking at the problem theologically and spiritually. And folks, when we involve God in the problem, the victory is sure. That's what the Bible is showing us here. David says, I can't wear these. I'm not used to them. He took them off. He made himself vulnerable. But David, this is the way we fight. David says, this is not going to work. He made himself vulnerable to the enemy. And then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones, not jagged, not sharp, but 5 smooth stones from the stream. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought there's a lot of wisdom in those words, because Goliath was fighting with something fashioned by man, with his javelin and his metal point. David was fighting with something fashioned by God in the smooth stones. It seems so unusual and so unlikely, but with God on his side, it was a sure thing. He chose 5 smooth stones. I don't know. We could talk till the cows come home. Guys smarter than I can tell you why 5, what they meant and all that. That's not the important part here. He chose these stones. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag with a sling in his hand. And he approached the Philistine. He didn't run or sit and wait for it to attack again. He got proactive. I'm going after him. You see, the Philistine came with his shield bearer in front of him. He kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and he saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. And he despised him and said to David, am I a dog that you come after me with sticks? And he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "Listen to this. You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel." There it is again. It meant something to David. It must mean something to us in our battles that we face every day. That we have the one true God. Our God's bigger than any problem you can throw at him. And David made that clear. "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David's not taking the credit for any of this. He's giving it all to God. He says to Goliath, "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. I'll give your carcass, the carcasses of the Philistine army, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Notice the purpose here of the victory, that the world might know that there is a true God of Israel. And those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give all of you into our hands. The Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag, taking out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. And David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. Well, he went over and he took Goliath's sword out of Goliath's scabbard and cut off his head and took his head back and showed everybody, "Our God's bigger. Our God's bigger." Say, "Our God's bigger." As I was reading this story, I remember a few years ago, probably about 14 or so years ago, in the little village we lived in western Pennsylvania, there were a group of kids that lived around the community and in the community. It was very rural, and the kids didn't have anything to do. Well, we would go to the old park there in the village that had an old softball field that was all overgrown with grass, although there were some spots of clay still showing. And we'd go, we'd play softball with the kids. It was a great time. We'd have a lot of fun. We'd gather maybe on an afternoon in the middle of the summer and just play softball with the kids. On this one particular day, we were playing and kind of practicing for a game that was coming up with a neighboring community. And a lot of the kids had to go home. So as they were getting their stuff ready to go home, I said, "If anybody wants to stay and practice hitting a little bit, I'll stay with them. I'll practice fielding. You can hit the balls out to me and I'll practice fielding." Well, one young girl, her name was Sadie, was probably about 10 maybe at the time. She was not very old. She was kind of a tomboy. She loved softball. So she said, "I'll stay, Pastor Mike, and I'll hit to you." And I said, "Okay, great." So I took all the softballs, took them into home plate and kind of laid them down on the ground. She got a home plate. She had her aluminum bat. And as I was walking away from her to go back out to where the pitcher's mound or place is to start fielding balls, I said to her, "Now, you toss them up in the air and hit them out here, and I'll ground them and throw them back in." And as I got just to the pitcher's mound, she said, "I don't know if I can do that, Pastor Mike. I've never been good at just tossing them up and hitting them like that." And about that time, I heard ping, and as I turned around, that softball was right here. And this little girl, maybe 10 years old, hit this softball so squarely and so hardly that it imprinted the stitches in my forehead and knocked me backwards flat on the ground. You see, there was a lot of power in what David did, but it wasn't David's power. It wasn't the stone. It was faith in Almighty God and the power of God directing that stone to the perfect place on Goliath's forehead. Boom. And David went up and finished him off. Now, this is not a message about retaliation at all. because we're not to retaliate. This is Old Testament. God sent his people into battle in a special way then. In the New Testament, Paul tells the Ephesians to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, you know, the breastplate, to protect our hearts against the enemy and our heads so that we're not led astray from the knowledge of the salvation in Jesus Christ, and to gird our loins so that we're ready to go and do whatever God asks us to do. But the one weapon that God gives us, that is our offensive weapon, he said, and take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, as your weapon in the battle. David had the word of God in his heart. He knew the promises of God. He knew that he was one of God's covenant children, involved in the covenant. And if he trusted God, God was not going to let him down because God said so. And our problem today in our world and in our churches is that people are not using the sword of the Spirit that tells us he's our ever-present help in times of trouble, that tells us time and time again, God is a God that saves his people in this life and in the life to come, that God is bigger than any problem that can come up in your life. We might get a little bloody. In fact, Christians go to the grave wounded and bloody, but we're renewed and restored and refreshed. The Bible tells us that, you see. And when we let this behind and take the world's ways of fighting in life, we're doomed from the beginning. And understand, folks, God's word tells us, you will not defeat our ancient foe by yourself because you do not have the power to do so. The Bible tells us that. We are of a lower order in creation than the enemy. He's more powerful. He knows every strategy in your life, and he can't wait to use it on you. And people say to me, well, he's not really coming at me with anything in particular. I feel like he's letting me alone. And I say, that's cause for concern. Because if he's letting you alone, that means he's got you. You see? So what do we do? Are we doomed from the beginning? Absolutely not. We have a higher power. We go above the power of our ancient foe and say to Jesus, come to our aid. And he's there every day in the battle. Every single day, he's with you. No matter what comes up in your life, he is right there. He already knows it's coming before you do. See? And we have to understand that when those things happen and we get caught off guard, we can sit down for a moment after all the things rush through our mind and we get all worked up. And most people retaliate, and the way they retaliate is in anger. Maybe mad at God or mad at somebody else because life just isn't going the way they think it should. When all of that clears our minds, we stop for a moment and think, who is this that defies the people of the living God? You see what I'm saying? We have to stop and remember that. Through Jesus Christ, we are God's chosen people. And I know that we're all battling something. We're all going through this, but we're going through it together, and we're going through it with our great leader who is bigger, more powerful, knows more, and especially has promised that the victory is ours. Read the book of Revelation if you don't believe that. You see. When I was a little kid, in closing, when I was a little kid, I'd get up Saturday mornings and watch the test pattern on television. Okay, many of you might have done that also, watch the test pattern, because what did I want to watch? A program put on by the Lutherans, Davy and Goliath. Remember that? Claymations, Davy and Goliath. It took me probably till adulthood to realize what the real message there was in David and Goliath, but I remember those messages now loud and clear. To trust God. To trust God in every situation. And remember, God's always with us. And the theme song was, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." The world above all earthly powers knoweth thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they might kill, but God's truth abides still, and his kingdom is forever. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we're not going to fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness is grim. We tremble not for him. His rage we can endure because his doom is sure. So do we in our own strength confide? If we do, our striving is losing. Unless the right man is on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that might be? Well, Christ Jesus, it's he. Lord, exalt Sabaoth his name, because he must win the battle. Therefore, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. He's our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Because still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and his power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal, but in Christ Jesus, the battle and the victory is sure.